There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, put your mittens on your kittens, and away we go. 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Hi, I'm Sean. Glad you're here. Easy to get in touch with us as well. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. 251-343-0106. Also, you can use the FM Talk 106.5 app to call and text, but in addition, a talkback feature. You use the microphone icon. If you press that, that's your recorded message, emails it to the show, and I might play it back here right on the radio. All right, so check that out. And coming up in a little bit, my buddy John Sharp is going to join me. Obviously, lots to talk about today as it is Election Eve. Speaking of which, so it's just inside baseball stuff, but yeah, we're kind of a family around here. Shows are different. You've heard some candidates on today on the station, and you may hear some more tomorrow. I don't do it on this show, and to much to the chagrin of some people that are new in the cycle and statewide races that were had their people text me, and then they texted me over the weekend, and they need to come on the show. I've just made a rule. You know, we're 17 years with this station, and for me, because I've seen it go badly one time before, and I don't do candidate interviews the day before, like today, or Election Day. I'll talk to y'all and I'll interview people about different things, but I don't get the candidates on because you have this situation where, at least in my opinion, now there's no rule for every show on the station, but for Midday Mobile, I don't want to be in a situation where somebody comes on and says something explosive and then there's not time for a counter from their opponent. So that's why that doesn't happen here. But up to Friday was doing them, and as soon as we get through tomorrow, I have a feeling, I'm getting a feeling, we're going to have some runoffs. Wait, maybe not, but then we'll put the people right back on and start talking to them. Also, I want to say congratulations. That's more inside baseball stuff, inside radio. Y'all, just send a message to Dalton and give him an attaboy and a hoorah. Because I know what he's dealt with because I've done it in the past. So with all the candidates on the air, we also have a rule around here. We first of all separate, you know, whatever. Joe Smith is running for dog catcher. And by the way, wait till the attack ads come out on him. But Joe Smith, we make sure that Joe Smith's ads are separated, right? So he gets what we call frequency in the business. So it's not just one after another, unlike cable TV. We separate those. So in addition to doing that, so now we have Joe Smith and everybody else running for every different office. We separate them from themselves in the commercial breaks. Then we separate. We don't let people who are running against each other run back to back in a commercial break. So you think about this scheduling Jenga that Dalton does. It's something. When you hear like what you heard last week, you'll hear today and tomorrow. I know that there was like a lot of work. You can't just press the button and say, hey, give me, let the commercials run here. It's very different. So good on Dalton. Send him an attaboy out there. And then before we even get into tomorrow, and we're going to go through some of the ballots. I heard some people talking about that. You know, we usually do that on this show on the day before Election Day. So we'll go through ballots. If you've got questions, we can try to answer those, but we'll read through for Mobile and Baldwin County. And if you've got a out-of-county question, let us know and we'll work on that. But yes, before that, now it doesn't mean that because I know the discussion is crime trending down and the stats show it's trending down. That's true. But stories like this, like I've said before, if you think about all violent crime as a pie, a delicious violence pie, and we're going to cut it up. What concerns people, I think, is the slice of pie that is good people or neutral people being hurt by dirtbags, right? Dirtbag on dirtbag, it makes the news, but it's, you know, because we'll say, you'll say, well, what about when dirtbag on dirtbag and it gets an innocent person? Well, that's back in the innocent pie, slice of pie. But dirtbag versus dirtbag is one thing. Sadly, domestic, it's a horrible thing out there, but it is something where if you weren't part of that family or love triangle or whatever it is, you're not involved. It's the slice of pie that involves, you know, people had nothing to do with it, right? So we have one of these stories here, and this is why it's of interest, remember, in the legislature when they moved the class of felony up for shooting into. Here we go, more of this crap. And that's the nicest word I can use. From our news partners at WKRG, Mobile Police Department officers are investigating a shooting that left a home and car damaged on Friday night. According to an MPD news release, officers were called to the 4700 block of Calhoun Street about 11 p.m. on May 15th for reports of shots fired. When they arrived, officers found an unoccupied vehicle on Calhoun Street and an occupied home on Andrew Road hit by gunfire. Remember, this is the way the dirtbags have killed children in their homes asleep, you know, doing like normal kid stuff. So in this case, no one was injured in the house. It was occupied. The car was not occupied. But once again, I will argue that this is even more violent than aiming a gun at another bad guy and shooting at the bad guy. Shooting into a house, you have no idea who's in there. You shoot it up. And then, well, of course, it was shooted up this weekend. One dead and four wounded in the O'Donnell Street shooting. This from NBC 15. Said, according to Mobile Police, on Monday, that's today, y'all, at approximately 1:57 a.m., officers, what were you doing at 1:57 this morning? Guys, don't respond. You're probably up. Yeah, go up for a little break in the bathroom real fast, come back, right? But everybody else is sleeping soundly. So at approximately 1:57 a.m., officers responded to the 1100 block of O'Donnell Street. In a reference to a shooting. Upon arrival, officers discovered a male victim deceased outside the home with a fatal gunshot injury. Upon further investigation, officers discovered three female victims, a male victim, and arrived at local hospitals a short time later with non-life-threatening gunshot injuries. Okay. Just a little roundup here. So while we're, you know, looking at the political things going on, still the dirtbags, and listen, crime trending down. It's not everywhere, but it's somewhere. You know, you have people that have no moral, and you'll say, well, they're bad guys. They don't, yeah, but the moral compass versus targeting other bad guys, and then targeting just whoever's around them. It's just absolutely sick. All right, we'll come back here. We'll get into the tomorrow, of course, as I've jokingly kind of did last week. We vote tomorrow. That's because every message I get here from official sources, like, remind your people that they're voting tomorrow. So I continue to do that. We're voting tomorrow, heading to the polls tomorrow for the 2026 primary. Maybe we'll go through some questions on that. Polls, this part, you know, right? 7 to 7. Although we get this question every year, so let me answer this. 7 to 7. What if you're, Sean, what if I'm in line by 7, but, it, you know, by the time I get in there, which I don't think is going to be an issue. I don't think we're going to have that kind of turnout. As long as you're in line, you still get to vote. So we go through some of those questions. We'll go look at the ballot, sample ballots out there as well. Plus a reminder, don't get caught unaware of where your polling place may be. AlabamaVotes.gov. It takes like 2 minutes. Put your information in. It shows you your polling place for tomorrow. So don't miss that one.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my man, Trey. 19 years of getting rid of junk in Mobile and Baldwin County. And just think about it this way. What is that project, that thing of like, oh, I know, honey, I know we got to get that stuff gone, right? That stuff, whatever that is, that junk gone, that's what Trey does. And if you've been dilly-dallying, it's the official term, if you've been dilly-dallying about it, don't. And to make that appointment. It's really easy. Like I said, I've done it personally, done it with this radio station. So I have firsthand experience. Plus, if you go look at the Google reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK in Mobile and Baldwin County, look how many people you probably know on there that give such glowing reviews. And I've said that before. The internet's full of people complaining about stuff, but when somebody takes the time to go on and say, this was awesome, that says something to me. And I can tell you personally, they do great work. So you got junk, you want it gone, make that appointment. And you can do that by calling them. Their name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Make that appointment, and they do like an actual day and time appointment. And I get it booked and get it done now. So give a holler to my man, Trey, with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, on the monitor here, what's gotten Fox News off of, it's gotten cable news, I haven't had a chance to go to the other channels, but it gets cable news back into what it's supposed to do. Cable news is supposed to just obsess on court cases, right? That's what they're in the business of. Like, the heck with Strait of Hormuz tracker, the heck with political intrigue around the country. To heck with what's happening with the meeting with Xi. What came out of that, the president meeting with Xi? I mean, I'm glad we do it, but I've never seen one of these big meetings where they come out and go, yep, we got everything figured out. I mean, I still think it's a good thing that we meet with other countries and kind of, you know, have some kind of rapport with them, whatever that is you can have with China. But they're not reporting on any of that. No, they're on the Murdaugh thing. And that's where, my friends, that's where cable news should be. Is reporting about case and what's happened here with what's his name, Alex Murdaugh, the trial, and them coming out here, and they've got the press gaggle out there as the defense attorneys are talking about maybe getting a change of venue for the next case or, you know, the next trial. Interesting. I mean, that's Murdaugh thing. I mean, you think it would be a South Carolina story, but because of cable news, everybody knows about it, and that's what they're running with right now. Right, before we get into some ballot stuff, let's get the text read, a few of these here. T-Mac, what's up, T-Mac? Said, I hope you're making generational wealth off all these candidates this cycle. If I have to listen to them, you need to make them pay so your great-great-grandchildren are taken care of. I appreciate that, T-Mac, but let me, you know, as we're kind of a weird radio station, we tell the things, we pull the curtain back. And like I talked about how Dalton's building the commercial breaks. We are, because we hold a federal license, right? We are bound to certain rules. And those rules say for candidates. Now, the ad for you here, I'm Joe Smith and I endorse this message, or, you know, this, it has a candidate's voice. At the end, they say who it is. Those commercials go at what's called lowest unit rate. I don't think there's any other station in the nation would tell you what I'm telling you right now. So because of the Fed, because the FCC and the FEC. So we're required to give, so whatever the lowest unit rate. So if you come to me and say, hey, Sean, and maybe for a lot of y'all, it's time this year to market your companies here, and you're going to do a year-long contract with me, right? You're going to be on the morning show, you're going to be on the midday, you're on Feinbaum, you're on Jeff's show, you're on the weekend, whatever. You buy through the year, like any kind of widget you're selling, you're going to get a better deal. Right? Versus I just want to run 7 commercials so you get a better deal. Well, the candidates, and not the attack ads, but the candidates themselves get that rate. They can demand that rate. We have to show it publicly and they can get it. So while there's a bunch of them, the idea that it's gajillions of dollars is not true. It's just not how it works. Now, attack ads that don't have a candidate's name on it, right? They buy commercials like if they were buying commercials for some other widget. But when it's the candidates, it's not the same. The rate is not the same. It is a greatly discounted rate. Jerry in Fort Morgan, has anyone heard from the sheriff about the fake bomb at Big Creek Lake? I would like to know what he was told about it when it was discovered. He has not spoken publicly about that, Jerry. Fire Dog said, Sean, are you sure we vote tomorrow? Are you very sure? How sure are you using Dr. Bill's weather scale? Is it a 1.820? I'm pretty sure we're voting tomorrow. Okay, what'd you say? Please, texter said, please clarify. The morning show kept saying that as soon as I vote, it gets thrown in the trash can. Oh, okay. We'll describe that here in a little bit. What they're talking about is the redrawn districts, but there's way more on the ballot, and we'll probably have to get to this maybe even after. Yeah, we'll probably do this after John Sharp gets on the show because that's coming up soon. The ones that would be thrown in the trash, and they're not going to be thrown in the trash, they're going to publish those, but then there's going to be a new election. That is just for the AL1, right? That is just, that's going to be for your AL1 votes, which is interesting too. So let me talk about this for a second. So on the ballot tomorrow, you'll see for United States Representative, 1st Congressional District, this is on the Republican ballot. It's going to say, here's your candidates. It lists Jerry Carl, James Dees, Rhett Marquez, Josh McKee, John Mills, James Richardson, and Austin Sidwell. Well, those names there are who was running for the previously drawn AL1. So out of that right now, so there's a, that's going to look like that tomorrow, even though there are candidates there listed that will not, that are not in AL1, not running for AL1. They don't have to live in AL1, but they're not running for it now at the new district. Rhett Marquez, he's out for AL1. He's running in AL2. Joshua McKee, out for AL1. He's running in AL2. So even though those names are on the ballot, they're out. Jerry Carl, staying in AL1. So he's on the ballot as drawn, but he'll be on the ballot again for AL1. Austin Sidwell, staying for AL1. So some of the, as you look through that, there are people like, you know, you look at Rhett Marquez and Joshua McKee that are not, even though they're going to show up on your ballot tomorrow as AL1, they're not running in AL1. So when the new ballots come out for August, they won't be on it. But they'll be on it tomorrow because the ballots were already out. So, but you have a ton of other elections going on tomorrow. You got state senate. You got reps. You got all kind of constitutional offices here. PSC. I pay attention to PSC, by the way. Really pay attention to your PSC. But you got state auditor stuff. You got all kind of ag. So there's a ton of stuff that will not be affected by any redrawn. So you are voting tomorrow, and only one part of that will be re-voted on in August. And you're going to vote tomorrow, too. And if those elections go into a runoff, which some of them will in this primary, that's going to be next month. So we're going to vote tomorrow. We're going to vote in June. And we're going to vote again in August. All right, this man, I don't have time. Jason, I see your text. Let me remind me, if I don't talk about this next hour, re-text it, because I want to, because there's some discussion to this that's pretty interesting. So next hour, but I just don't think we have time to get into it and get to John. Let's see. I text her, made me laugh. A meme here. Yeah. It's got, say I'd be honored to have your vote one more time. And it's got, what's that from the, is that from the clumps or which Eddie Murphy thing is that? Racking the action on the gun. Let's see. Chris and Daphne. Hey, Sean, if the judge is on Friday, vote down the 2022 or 2023 map. Does that mean that tomorrow's selection for United States Representative Congressional Districts 1 and 2 will be valid? No, they will not. So I did check that, Chris. So even if the judge changes it, it would be revoted. It would be... And what he's talking about is there's a story, and maybe we'll get to that in a little bit. If a judge turns this around, which I don't think is going to happen, Manasco et al. Doing this, it would still, no, this wouldn't count. It would be revoted. So because of the confusion around it, they wouldn't let it happen that way. Let's see. Michael is an endless smart aleck on this text line, and you're amusing me. I like this. Said my reliable source, Jeff Poore, just told me voting was moved to November 3rd. I'm very confused. We're voting again then, too. Dirtigger said, I'm voting tomorrow, and I want to vote on nappies for this. The best radio station in our state ever. Program on the station is great. And the people who work on this station, I mean, what I say. Well, I appreciate that. I maybe I don't dare say it, but I'm honored to have your vote. All right, John Sharp coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. 251-343-0106 gets you through to the show. Check in right now with my man, the Emperor at LCM Motor Cars, David McCrary. What's up, boss?
251-375-0068 gets you to my show.
There you go. And you can not only do that, you can check out his website as well at
LCMMotorCars.com.
Very good. Let's talk about inventory here on a Monday. What's it looking like?
It's good. We got a couple of new little trucks came in. We got a little Colorado came in. We got a couple of sedans, another C-Class car. We're doing well with those little vehicles. We're fixing to be on another sale here shortly, so hopefully we can pick up five or six more and get them on the way.
I like it. And if somebody has checked out the inventory you have, but there's something very specific they want, you do this. You even deal with me on this stuff, and I'm a pain. You can go look for that vehicle for them.
I can. And we have good success with that. One thing we do have now, we got a couple 3/4 tons, one gas, one diesel. So those are things that are not scarce, but they're getting harder to find. And when you do find them, they're priced out of the world. And both of ours are priced really right. We've got two really, really nice vehicles. One, that Denali diesel's got 60,000 miles on it, so that's a rare find.
Yeah, for sure. Now, if people want to get you to look for those, they can come look at those, but they can also call you and you can go look for just the color and the model and all that stuff they want.
Yeah, and we can do it here in the office in person, too. It's a whole lot easier. I pull it up on the big TV and show you exactly what you're looking at. I mean, you can do everything but get in it and sit in it. I mean, you can look at the exact vehicle. It's not going to be a replica or something that is just an illustration. It's going to be the actual vehicle. Come by and see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We're the third red light on the left. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068, or once again, check that website out, lcmmotorcars.com.
Hey, thanks, David.
Hi, bud.
All right, there he goes. And then my friend and guy getting ready for tomorrow and the reporting he does for AL.com, the man, the myth, the legend, the semi-pro athlete, John Sharp, joining us. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, doing good.
Hey, interesting text I had earlier. Somebody's talking about, so if there's some, you know, there's this question of there, we unredraw the maps or whatever, that the election, would it stand or not? And for AL1, and I, you know, my understanding is, vote tomorrow. I guess all the candidates are interested because it's a, you know, a real fancy way to poll voters out there. But it's not going to, even if they change, it's all going to be revoted. No matter what happens, that's going to be revoted in August, the AL1.
That's correct.
No matter what judge does, anything would happen between now and then, you're still, it's going to be revoted.
That's correct. We just don't know exactly. Well, as we know, all we know right now is that it'll be done in August 11th, which, by the way, that's my daughter's birthday. So, and school starting again. So I got that date,
Well, yeah, the primary's around graduation, right? Because people complain to me, and rightly so. I didn't ever think about it, but this is like graduation time.
That's correct. Graduation, proms, summer vacations on horizon, summer vacation for college students right now and for professors. Everybody's kind of moving on, yet we got this primary. So I think there's been some grumbling about this election day tomorrow. But then again, we'll have the special election when school's starting back up. So it's, what can you do? You know, it's kind of, that's where we're at. And it's going to be very hot for those that are wanting to jump into the first congressional district. Campaign season, which we will open up qualifying again starting on Wednesday. The primary is over with on Tuesday, and then the first congressional district, which Mobile and Baldwin County is now apparently together again, will, you know, the, whoever wants to run for Congress, the qualifying period opens up on Wednesday. And my understanding, a lot of some of the folks that are running in AL1 in the what I call the ghost district are considering running in the new AL1 that's been that was part of redistricting that went through in the special session 2 weeks ago. And the same thing with AL2. We got, you know, some of the AL1 candidates are running or wanting to run in the new AL2 that will encompass the Wiregrass area and does not include Mobile and Baldwin counties any longer. That's where we're at right now. Now, that's not to say that you're right. The judges, the federal judicial panel may come back and toss out these new maps and take that but theoretically would be taken once again back to the Supreme Court and just add fuel to the confusion fire. So
yeah, but your understanding is like in a, you know, trying to let the texter know, even if that happens, it's revoted. It's not, you know, they were saying, well, if I vote tomorrow and the judges take it back to the districts we had before, you know, before the Calais case, it will not stand. It will be revoted, even if the districts look different.
That's correct. Okay. What we have tomorrow is the ballots were already printed before the special session went through, before everything, you know, there was, you know, absentee ballot voting going on. So the AL1 race stays on the ballot, but we've been calling it, I've kind of given it this term, a ghost district.
Yeah, explain that.
Means nothing. Well, it's a dead duck. It means nothing. I mean, you're voting on it. This is rare. I mean, this is extremely rare. I mean, I went and you know, I was asking folks that work at Cook Political Report. I said, you know, has this ever happened before? I mean, this is kind of unusual, right? And they're like, yeah, this, you got to go back to, you know, the 19th century to find any kind of comparables. And even they're having a hard time trying to find them. This is highly unusual what we're going through. It's all stems back to the decision in the Supreme Court's decision in late April in the Louisiana redistricting case. The first example of a congressional district that was on the ballot that was ruled, the outcome was ruled invalidated before the election even occurred, but again, the names were still listed on the ballot, was in Louisiana on Saturday. However, the big difference here between Alabama and Louisiana is Louisiana did not release the name of the winner officially. You know, that's come out since then. I don't know through whatever channels, political channels that may have occurred, but we'll know who won this district that means nothing now, this AL1 race. We'll know who won this race tomorrow evening. The numbers are being, will be tabulated and posted to the Alabama Secretary of State's website. However, whoever wins doesn't win anything. It's a restart.
Yeah, but you know, they win the best polling that could
That's
ever
correct.
Happen.
Yeah.
It is the best poll.
Right.
Like, it depends on if people go in there and just goof, or, but if they don't, holy cow, the value of that to the candidates is huge.
To a certain extent, Sean, there you and I think John Mills made this point. He's one of the candidates that's running now. He'll be on the ballot. He told, you know, he made a good point. He said, look, you know, you really have to go further than just looking at the outcome of this race. You have to, you know, how is Jerry Carl going to do in the counties in which he'll be running for in August?
Mm-hmm.
Because he could pull, you know, wonderful or terrible in Houston County. It really means nothing now. You know,
right?
What I'm
right. They'll pair it back. Houston they'll pair it back. They'll look at it and probably go, okay, what is you know, what? Let's, the counties are now in AL1. How do we do there?
That's correct. And so you can't just look at the outcome. I mean, that'll be interesting to see what the total outcome is, you know, what, you know, how they did, you know, in this ghost district that is invalidated, means nothing now. We'll see what those numbers are, but then you have to pair it back and look at the counties that really matter. You know, the ones that will matter for Rhett Marcus, who's now running an AL2 on August 11th, and then Jerry Carl, who's running an AL1 on August 11th. Of course, we don't know who they will be joined with. Are there going to be new candidates? That's another wild card. But that's a discussion starting on Wednesday, because that's when qualifying opens for AL1 and AL2 that were part of the redistricting through the special session, and that will be on that, you know, the special election. So the qualifying begins on Wednesday, and it goes till, I believe, only till Friday. So it's a quick qualifying period, but it's going to be a fun political week.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just needs to take it step by step. Don't jump three steps ahead or you're going to wind up completely confused. It is confusing. And I think most people that are in the know have described it as such. But it's just something that I think everybody can truly get a handle on if you just take it easy step by step and see how it all unfolds.
Yeah, it seems like as we go through the cycles, the last few cycles, we're learning more about civics at a 400 level than we learned before. For example, the candidates don't have to run. Like Rhett Marquez and Joshua McKee switching to AL2. But it's not geographically. They don't have to do that because of geography. They're doing that probably they think they have a better chance of winning in two, right? It's not like we've had situations where people could run for, coming from the Anthony Daniels move, right? He was going to come from AL7, was going to run for two. He'd run in two.
You're right. We've been talking about residency a lot in the last year, especially, we've talked about it with Senator Tommy Tuberville and his candidacy for governor. It's much more strict on the statewide constitutional offices like governor than it is for the federal congressional seats like U.S. House. And we saw that several years ago in 2024 when the Opportunity District was created for AL2, and we were seeing candidates coming from Huntsville, Jefferson County, all over the place.
Yeah.
Right, everywhere. And, that's still a possibility. We haven't seen that as much and this, this particular election cycle, but we may still, a splintering AL, bringing AL1 back to Mobile and Baldwin County, that we could see some interest in Baldwin County from some lawmakers that, are considering potentially running. But we won't really know where that stands yet until Wednesday. So it's, we got to get through the elections on Tuesday and then we'll see what kind of announcements are made the next day.
And, of course, you lead off in one of your stories with turnout, right? Something we talk about so many times. And I'd forgotten this, this detail. John writes, 4 years ago when Alabama Governor Kay Ivey beat back a crowded 9-person Republican primary for governor, I had forgot there were 9 in, only 23% of voters participated. With 9. Wow. Yeah. I don't know what, I know that nobody wants to say anything officially about what they think turnout will be tomorrow because they say it may spoil the, whatever. But it's, I don't know that it makes 23%.
I'm thinking if I were to make a prediction, I think it's along those lines, maybe a little bit of a bump up considering there are competitive race. Yeah, there's competitive races outside of the governor's race. And I think we've known that all along at the governor's race. Well, on the Republican side, is not competitive. On the Democratic side, I think there's also been this little bit of this foregone conclusion that Doug Jones will be the nominee, and so it hasn't been fiercely competitive on that side either. Although there are more candidates running for governor, but I think you see more of these competitive races in the U.S. Senate on the Republican side. We're looking at a most likely a runoff there. And then also in the lieutenant governor's race as well. And so will that draw the voters to the polls? And then, of course, we saw a lot of activity over the weekend in Selma and Montgomery, a lot of discussions about we got to turn out the vote. This redistricting thing is a new element tossed into into things that we're not sure what that might mean for turnout, especially in the primaries. I think the thinking is that the turnout probably see a little bit of a bump up in November, but we have this election, then we have this, then we have the primary runoff in June, and then there's a special election on August 11th before we even get to the general election. So we got 4 elections coming up, in the next so many months, and so it's a lot. And but I think the thinking is that you're not going to see an incredible, you'll see your typical turnout, but maybe a slight bump up because of some of these activities that have captured the kind of national attention.
Yeah, for sure. And it's going to be, it is going to be interesting, too. I was thinking it depends on what happens. This is on the Republican side. But I wonder if Trump weighs in, because now it's not just a bunch of Republicans. He's got some separation, meaning AL2, he really didn't have a big play there. But now he has AL1 and AL2. I wonder if Trump comes in and does endorsements. Before we get to August, I wonder if that's going to play.
Well, Yeah, that could play. Interestingly, you know, I know Jerry Carl's mentioned that Trump's endorsed him before in the past. You know, so obviously, you know, that's an endorsement that the Republicans are keeping an eye on, and I certainly would like to see in AL1, and I would imagine AL2 as well. Another key thing is tomorrow to keep an eye on, perhaps how Senator Katie Britt's endorsements are doing, or you know, those that she's perceived mm-hmm. as supporting will be doing tomorrow evening. That'll be interesting to keep an eye on as well. Her national profile's elevated somewhat lately, and there was an article, I believe, in the New York Times tossing out names that potential presidential contenders in a few years, and her name was thrown out there. And I was, you know, I think that's got a lot of people wondering. It'll be interesting to see how her, you know, those that she supported or mm-hmm. is perceived to be supporting oh. will be doing. We'll keep an eye on that.
Well, I mean, the person that perceived or did or is going to run in AL2, does she play again in AL1, you know?
Yeah, that's another good question. If she does play again in AL1, you know, it'll be interesting because, you know, the perception in AL2 is, well, you know, from Enterprise, you got that hometown support and that sort of thing. You won't have that in AL1 anymore.
Nope.
So if she supports someone, there has to be a little bit more of that why answered. And I think that's going to be interesting.
Won't be boring, for sure. And by the way, John, I know you have all your work to do tomorrow, but don't be surprised if I'm texting you or calling you between 8 and 10 tomorrow night as we're doing election night coverage here. So I thought I'd let you know ahead of time.
Yeah,
don't block my calls.
No. I'll be around. It'll be a fun night. Hopefully everything goes smoothly. We hope so. And encourage everybody to get out and vote. You can't blame the weather. It's going to be a pretty nice, you know, fairly warm day, but it's going to be nice. So don't go off blaming the weather. My goodness. So
it's a deal. All right, John, I'll be ringing your phone here shortly.
All right, Sean. Thanks.
All right. There goes John Sharp with AL.com. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:55 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. You know, I think I had played this in the past, but talking to John when he said, you know, Mobile and Baldwin counties reunited with the back to the 2023 maps. Remember this?
Very hard to stay away as we reminisce.
Remember this? Reunited, Peaches and Herb. So that's it. Mobile and Baldwin counties. I don't know if I missed your kiss in AL2, but I mean, we missed you. So glad. Some excuse to play Peaches and Herb, you know. They had that song, and then they had, they had that song. All right, 251-343-0106. And let's see, Motorman, can we write you in for PSC? It is a free country, Motorman. Don't know how I'd do that job right now. It's like very few things I'd be interested in being running for office for. PSC would be one of them. I would like to be able to do it and run for that office and not have some kind of horrible accident as I ran for it, right? But it's going to be interesting. Well, we've done the PSC interviews. You know, on the Republican side, Priscilla Andrews, Chris Beaker, Brent Woodall, and Jim Zig Ziegler showing up for place two. Place one, Matt Gentry, Jeremy Oden. Those are up for vote, right? So, even though we have now a PSC that's different after the legislation they passed this year, right? And somebody says geography does matter. No, it doesn't actually in congressional races. You can live, like I said, the best example was House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels. He's a Huntsville guy that was going to run in AL2. You can legally do that. Now, it's probably bad politically because you can say, hey, this person's not even from here. They don't even live here. But yeah, you can. But yeah, the break this way was that I'm sure, I mean, Brett Marcus, it makes sense. That's home district there and the 2023 AL2, Wiregrass, right? So he's going to run there. Joshua McKee running there, probably seeing he has a better chance. Jerry Carl staying in for AL1 as we do it, the reunited. And it feels so good. AL1, Austin Sidwell staying in AL1 as well. But it's not going to look like that on your ballot tomorrow. And once again, there's a whole bunch of other things you're voting for tomorrow that this is it for the primary, unless there's a runoff. So this has nothing to do with any kind of redrawn district. So just want to make sure that you understand it. It's important. Yeah. Texter says, peach is an herb. It's herb as in Alpert, not oregano. And so peach is an herb. So they're reunited. It feels so good. Did not think I'd be playing that song today. But that's our love song for the 2023 AL1 map. All right, hour number two on the way.